And as we sing such a hymn together about the kind of homes that we desire, I trust that God will grant what this hymn has been speaking about and give us homes with godly mothers and fathers.
Give us homes that are united in the Lord. I want you to open your Bible tonight as we turn to the Acts of the Apostles and the chapter 16. I'm going to read a story tonight that is so familiar to, I suspect, nearly everyone in this church building this evening. That's why I said I'm going to preach about James. I don't know whether the man was called James or not. Probably not. But he was a jailer. And he came. Paul and Barnabas, the two great missionaries that we read about in this passage of Scripture. Acts of the Apostles, the chapter 16. And we'll read from verse 16. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought our masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out the same hour. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in, and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." And he spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Ending the reading at verse 34. May God bless it to our hearts. Shall we pray? Let's look to the Lord for these closing minutes of our gospel service tonight. Lord, it is with thanksgiving that we bow before thee as we take this moment simply to draw near to our God again in prayer. We thank thee for this meeting, for the singing of the praises, for the testimony of James, for the reading of thy precious word. We thank thee that what we've read is indeed the inspired word of the living God, the book that God has given. We thank thee that this history is perfect, it's accurate. It's history that we can rely upon it because it's history that God has given. And Lord, as we think about what's happening here at this family night service, we pray that Thou will draw near to every waiting heart, that Thou will speak to our souls, that Thou will glorify Christ, that Thou will help the preacher for Jesus' sake. Amen. I want to speak tonight on the greatest of all family blessings. And I believe we have it here in verse 31 of the passage that we've just read together. They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." When I thought of family night, I thought that a family theme would be most appropriate. Last month, we had a family theme. We went way back to the history of the Old Testament, and we thought about the first family that ever walked this scene of time. The family of Adam and Eve, and how they had a divided family, divided in time and divided in eternity. My heart has been drawn this evening on this family night service to this passage of scripture here in Acts chapter 16, where we read about another family, the family of the Philippine jailer. I kind of argued with my own heart as I thought about this passage of scripture. And I said, well, you know, this portion of God's word is so familiar that people will know it so well. I've preached on this story several times before. I preached one time on the subject of a midnight conversion, this man being saved in the dead of night when darkness had come, when he had fallen asleep and was awakened by the earthquake. I have also preached about the most important question that could be asked. And of course, the answer that is given, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. As I was thinking about this portion of scripture, I thought you could also preach upon the subject songs in the night. I know that many of God's dear people are passing through difficult days and facing hardship. And yet here are men who in their day face terrible hardship. In difficult times, for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of the Savior, in prison, beaten, aching, sore, bleeding, and yet they've got songs in the night, for God can give you a song in the midst of all your distress. Familiar though this passage of Scripture is, I couldn't get away from it. And it seemed as if the Lord was simply saying to my heart, this is the message. This is the theme that I want you to deal with at the family service. It's been ringing in my heart all week. The greatest of all family blessings. What is it? I believe it's household salvation. It is to see all the family converted to Christ, all the family saved before the great and the dreadful day of the Lord doth come. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. We mentioned the verse on Thursday night at the close of our meeting, at the close of the time of preaching. And I was referring to my Bible reading that day in 3 John, verse 4. Where John, as he writes the inspired word, he said to Gaius that he had no greater joy than to see his children walk in the truth. Well, I believe that's something similar to what we're dealing with here tonight. There's no greater joy that any parent, any Christian parent could have than to see their children walking in the truth. To see their children in the truth of Christ, saved by the grace of God, and then thereafter walking with God the way that they ought to walk. There is not a greater blessing. It's not to see our children well educated. Education is important. But the greatest joy to any parent is not to see their children well educated. It's not to see them settled in life. And I know that parents long that their children meet the right people and they settle in life, especially Christian children. They meet a Christian young person, a young person that loves the Lord, and they'll be good for one another. And as they set up home together, they're setting up that home on the right basis and the right principles, with Christ as the center of their marriage and the center of their home. And that's a great delight, but it's not the greatest joy. It's not the greatest joy to see our children with job satisfaction. And it's good to have the right job, and it's good to be in a place where you like what you do. I think it must be an awful thing come Monday morning, and people who hate the employment that they're in have a dread in their heart as they think of the prospect of Monday and the incoming week. Oh dear, I've got to go to work today. Must be an awful thing. Better thing to waken up on the Monday morning and say, I'm delighted to go to work because I love what I do. And that's what we call job satisfaction, but that's not even the greatest delight that any parent can have for their children. Nor is it to see their children earn lots of money. Money can be the ruination of any child, of any family. It's not to see their children go places in society. It's not to see them successful in sport or in music or in the arts. No, it is to see their children saved. All of them. Accounted for in the grace of God. None of them left out. It has often been said, God has not given us children as fuel for the fire. And I think often about that little phrase. We must move heaven and earth and do all we can under God to make sure that our children are gathered in before the day of the Lord comes. To see the whole family saved, surely this must be the greatest blessing this side of eternity. Well, here's a family. In Acts chapter 16, who got a very special blessing. They not only saw their whole family saved, but they saw them come to Christ at one time. Isn't that a blessing? Look there at verse 34. When he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. This is unusual, isn't it? Doesn't often happen that a whole family is saved at the one time, but it does happen. It seems that this happened to Lydia's family too in the earlier part of the chapter from verse 11 through to verse 15. It tells us the story, if you note verse 15 of Acts 16, when she was baptized and her household. It seems that the whole family there were converted to the Lord. And so there were these two families in this chapter, here in the same city of Philippi, that enjoyed this wonderful blessing of household salvation. The centurion Cornelius, sent for Peter in Acts chapter 10, assured in his heart by the Lord that Peter would tell him words. And this is what the scripture says, whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. So there are times when God is pleased to save the whole family. There's times when God is pleased to save the whole family at one time. And what a blessing that is. And it has happened in Bible times. It has happened in church history too. Isn't this our prayer? Isn't this our desire as parents? Isn't this the very longing of our heart as we think of our families on earth? I pray that family members will be gathered in tonight, in this very meeting. Some of you are out of Christ. You're held by many a snare. We cannot see you lost and lone. The hymn writer said, we want you over there. We want to meet you in glory. We want to see you in that land that is fairer than day. One of the main reasons for family night is that we see our families won to Christ. We seek to prepare them for heaven. That's what Noah did with his family. He prepared his family. He prepared an ark for the saving of his house. Hebrews 11, the great chapter of faith, tells us that Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Isn't that how we feel? We want to prepare an ark for the saving of our house. We want to prepare a way for our children. We want to work to that end as Noah did. We want to preach and witness to that end as Noah did. I'm so thankful that Noah had the influence that he had with his loved ones. And he saw them gathered in. It would have been a different story that he preached to his loved ones and his loved ones didn't go into the ark. The priest of the old world didn't have any outward success. He only saw his family saved. What a dreadful thing it would have been, having preached to his three sons and his three daughters-in-law and to his wife, and they weren't gathered into the ark. But he had influence. And I trust and pray that we'll have influence with our families and see them saved. Sadly, it's not always the case. Lot pleaded with his sons-in-law to get out of Sodom. God was coming in judgment. The fire was going to fall. Get out of the city was the command. But he pleaded with his sons-in-law. And God's word says he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. They didn't believe him. And they didn't get out of the city. And they didn't experience salvation. May such words not be written of us. We want to see our family saved. And so tonight I'm drawing your attention to this text of Scripture that is very much in keeping with what I want to say as we think about the greatest of all family blessings. So a couple of things I want to say as far as this text is concerned in passing, and then I want to come to the main point. I want to say, first of all, that there is a path we must take. We ourselves. If that path has not been taken already, here's a path we must take. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Serious responsibility is laid upon our shoulders. The shoulders of every man. A responsibility that has been given to you by Almighty God. What is that responsibility? It is to believe. We are to exercise faith in Jesus Christ. That is our duty. That is our God-given responsibility. We are commanded by God to believe. Incidentally, we're also commanded to repent. God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And these are the two great pillars of the gospel. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Dear sinner, you must believe. Did you say tonight, I can't believe? Of myself I am unable to forsake my sin and embrace the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. And that is true. You haven't got the ability. You haven't got the power. You cannot choose Jesus Christ in this sense. You cannot repent of your sin. You cannot turn to God. You cannot break from your sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ that you might be saved. And yet God commands it. He commands you to believe. This is the path that you must take if it shall be well with you in time and in eternity. Because man is depraved by nature, he cannot. And he will not seek God in salvation. He loves his sin. He loves the pleasures of this world. He loves his waywardness. But here's the great news. God commands you to believe. And though you will not come to Jesus Christ of your own will, my friend, God gives you the ability. He gives you the strength to believe. It's a gift of God. Faith is a gift of God. James quoted the text from Ephesians 2. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Salvation is the gift of God. Grace is the gift of God. Faith is the gift of God. It's all of the Lord. How do I obtain the power and the ability to believe? Well, my friends, you need to hear God's word. You need to come and sit beneath the sound of it. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It is as we hear God's word that God is pleased to do a work in hearts and to grant the gift of faith to sinners, so that they can believe. You must believe, and it's believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Savior. He's the only one that can deliver you from sin. He's the one who went to the cross of Calvary, and there upon the cross of Calvary, He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He has taken care of our debt. He has taken care of our sin. He has paid the price for man's redemption. You must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, who He is and what He came to do. This jailer, falling at the feet of the apostles in deep distress of soul, asked the question, "What must I do to be saved?" And he was told to believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You must lead the way. Is there a father in this meeting and you're not saved? You must be like the jailer. You need to lead the way. If you're going to see your family saved, if you're going to see your children brought to Christ, then you must be a leader in the home. You must make sure that you get right with the Lord. And then be that influence in the family to bring the others to the saving knowledge of Christ. Or maybe it's a mother in this home. Don't you want to see your family saved? You must lead the way. Here's a father in this home. And he did. The path we must take. The second point that I want to make is the promise that we must apprehend. It says, "And thou shalt be saved." Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. There is certainty about God's salvation. Some people say that you can never know whether you're saved or not. Rome teaches that you can never be sure. In fact, after a Roman Catholic has done everything that he or she can do, and when they come to die and the last rites have been administered by the Roman Catholic priest, that individual is told that they must go to purgatory for a time, an unknown time, where they must continue to suffer for their sins for years and years and years before they can possibly go to heaven. The Council of Trent pronounced a curse upon anyone who presumed to say that they had assurance of salvation. But is the Protestant any better? For some, no. I meet people all the time and I ask the question, "Are you saved?" Just like the question that Albert put to James as he stood on his doorstep, "Are you saved?" Many a time we've stood on the doorstep and we've asked a similar question, "Are you saved? Are you going to heaven? Are you right with God?" And very often the reply is, "I hope so." It's not the certain hope that the Scripture speaks about. It's a vague kind of hope. There's nothing certain, there's nothing sure about it, but here's God's guarantee, shalt be saved. There's no doubt about it whatsoever. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is God's promise. A promise that never can fail. If you believe, if you call, if you turn from your sin, thou shalt be saved. There's no maybes, there's no vagueness, there's no ambiguity, there's no uncertainty at all. Shalt be saved. God means what He says, and He says what He means. You can stake your whole eternity upon the unshakable promise of Almighty God who has given His word. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. But I want you to notice thirdly, and this is the important thing tonight, in this family service, there is the prospect we must anticipate, and thy house. Do not fall short of the promise. Do not fail to understand the rest of the verse. Don't leave it out. Very often the verse is quoted, isn't it? It's maybe even put up on the roadside for people to read as they drive by. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. But the last little bit is left out. Don't leave out that little bit. It's so vital for us. And thy house. Here's the greatest blessing that any family can ever receive. It has sometimes been said that salvation does not run in the blood, but it runs in families. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, "It sometimes happens that a good man has to go alone to heaven. God's election has separated him from the midst of an ungodly family And notwithstanding his example and his prayers and his admonitions, they still remain unconverted. And he himself, a solitary one, a speckled bird amongst them, has to pursue his lonely flight to the skies. Far oftener, however, it happens that God, who is the God of Abraham, becomes the God of Sarah, and then of Isaac, and then of Jacob. And though grace does not run in the blood, and regeneration is not of blood nor of birth, yet doth it very frequently, I was about to say almost always, happen that God, by means of one of a household, draws the rest to himself. He calls an individual, and then he uses him to be a sort of spiritual decoy to bring the rest of the family into the gospel net. And how true that is. God saves one of the family, and frequently he uses that one to bring the rest in. Just let me say tonight, because you belong to a Christian home, some young person here, your mum and dad saved, brothers and sisters maybe are in Christ, just because you belong to a Christian home does not mean that you are saved tonight. But you've got all the advantages. You have higher privileges than many. You're nearer the kingdom of God than perhaps many others that you know of in school or in society at large. Sodom had no Bible. That dark and vile, wicked city. The city that God ordained to destroy because its wickedness was very great. And like the old world in Noah's time, its sins had reached unto heaven, provoking God to such a degree that he purposed in his heart to destroy the city of Sodom. But remember, Sodom had no Bible. It should have had a preacher, a godly preacher called Lot. It appears from what we read that Lot was silent about his witness, and he didn't make it known to others about the Lord. Sodom had no Bible. And it's true to say that many homes in Ulster today do not have a Bible either. That was not always the case. Going up 30, 40, 50 years ago, practically every home in Northern Ireland had a copy of the Scriptures. But I want to tell you, times have changed. The Bible is no longer valued. Many people are no longer interested in the things of God. And in the nation as a whole, we are raising our children in a heathen country. A country that has departed from God. I'm glad that Ulster is still a little behind the rest of the United Kingdom when it comes to the decline. But it's coming this way. And God has withdrawn his hand from the nation. And as a result, people in this country are godless. And they are Christless. And they are Bibleless. They don't have Bibles in their homes anymore. And even here in Northern Ireland, people are still requesting for a copy of the Scriptures. Thank God our Christian homes have Bibles. Many copies of the Bible. What a blessing that is to have God's Word in your home. Our Christian homes have praying mothers and fathers who pray for their children that they might be saved. Our homes have parents who long in their heart for their children's conversion. Parents who read and pray at the family altar with their offspring. Teach them daily the things of God. Young people, I want to say to you in this meeting, you have Sunday schools, you have children's meetings, you're brought along to church, you're taken to missions. You have the advantage of a godly example in the home. Christ is seen, Christ is lived out there in the family. Oh, the sweetness of such a godly influence. We have our youth challenge in the summertime. We have our Christian school, our youth fellowships, our Bible class, our Christian activities. You put these all together, and I want to say these are privileges. These are advantages. Influences to guide our children to Christ. doesn't make them a Christian, but it gives them every possible advantage. When you believe in Christ and become a child of God, there's every possibility that your family, through your witness and through the privileges that they have, will come too. And thy house. It's a promise given to the jailer in Philippi, and yet isn't it a promise we have often claimed for ourselves? We prayed over this verse. Aye, parents have wept over this verse. As they've thought about this jailer there in the city of Philippi being converted to Christ and his family being saved, and the word that the apostles gave to him, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. We have prayed over it, we have wept over it as we've thought of our families. And we have prayed, oh God, save our children. Bring them to Christ. When God moves in the heart of the head of the family, like he did in the jailer's life, he often saves other family members. I would say to every parent in this meeting tonight, never give up praying for your family. They may seem far away. They may appear to be disinterested in the gospel. They may be far away from God in the very depths of the world, as it is possible to go. But my friends, lay hold upon God and plead for your family. Catherine Booth prayed, O God, I will not stand before thee without my children. She was actually not willing to be saved without them. What was God's answer to such passionate pleading and faith? Every single child of her family was saved. And they all became preachers and workers in God's vineyard. Jonathan Edwards, in a moment of intimacy with God, is said to have claimed from God that not one of his seed would ever be lost. After three generations, one who had made investigation found or could not find one of his descendants who was not a Christian. A man gave his testimony one night relating how God had saved him. He finished his testimony by saying, 5 years ago, a dying mother called her daughter to her bedside and told her how glad she was that all her children would be with her in heaven. The daughter said, why, mother, what about John? Because John was not a Christian, and yet this mother rejoiced in the fact that all her children would be with her in heaven. The dying mother then quoted the words of our text. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. The man who gave his testimony then said, I am that son, picked up from the gutter by a God who answers prayer. Rest not until you know that your family is safely gathered in. Are you saved tonight? Are you saved in this meeting? Have you got family members that are unconverted? Are you yourself a member of a home where there are Christians and you're not saved yourself? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. The jailer believed. There at the prison house in the darkness of the midnight hour, he fell to his knees and he was wonderfully converted. He brought the preachers home. And there in his house, the gospel was preached and his family were all converted, and probably servants too, if he had servants. His family had probably never heard the gospel before. The Bible's silent about this. But in all likelihood, they never heard the gospel before. And yet on this one occasion when the gospel is preached, they believe. They turned to Christ, having heard the message once. This is truly remarkable. Many times have you heard the gospel? Many times. And still you're not saved. The old battering ram of the gospel is beaten upon your heart. many, many times, but alas, your heart has remained as hard can be. The invitations have been numerous. The pleas and the entreaties multiplied over and over. You've heard the Savior speak to your heart. You've felt the inner strivings of the Spirit. And yet for all, you remain unshaken and still in your sin. This household heard the once. And yet they believed immediately. It's an awful thing to reject the gospel over and over and over again. You need to come to Christ. Father, in this meeting, you need to be saved, just like the jailer, the father of this home in Acts 16. Mother, you need to be saved. Thank God the mother was gathered in too. Son, daughter, children of the home, you need to be saved. My prayer is that this family will be a representation of all of our families, that we will see them all gathered in unto Christ and saved by grace, brought nigh to Christ through His blood. Let us pray.